Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Janine Bureau Show. Now, here's Judge Janine Bureau.
Welcome back to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is a lawyer, a radio host, a speaker, a TV analyst, someone who is popular. She is outspoken. She is brilliant, and we are thrilled to have her on the show. You may have seen her on the Fox News Channel. I know that I have recently done an hour program with her, and I asked for her legal expertise. Her name is Jonna Spilbore, and she is joining us this morning because I wanted somebody really smart to talk about the Crumley case and the fact that two parents were convicted of manslaughter as a result of their son killing four students at a school. So, are you there, Jonna?
I am here, and I am honored to be on with you, Judge.
Oh, it's great to have you. All right, let me tell you what I think, all right? And then okay. I want to know what you think. So, the Ethan Crumley's parents, Ethan, of course, being the student who had a gun on a day that he went to school, a gun that his father, I believe, purchased for him within a day or two of the shooting. Ethan clearly had issues, mental health issues. He had told people that he wanted to commit suicide. He also was an individual who drew a stick figure of a dead person with a gun next to him and put it on his math assignment and turned that in. The teachers called the parents in and they said, hey, look, your son's got problems. And, you know, the parents did nothing about it. But instead, what they did was they just made a decision that, you know, they'd leave him in school. And that very day he goes in and he actually kills and shoots four students. The unusual part of this is that a jury found the parents guilty of manslaughter. The son has already been convicted, the shooter, but they found the parents. Jonna, what's your take on this case?
Well, to call this case unusual is an understatement. From start to finish, Judge, because never before has any parent been charged, let alone convicted, of a killing, of taking four lives. That's what these parents were charged and convicted of. For the act of someone else. In this case, the someone else happened to be their son. So from a legal standpoint, this has never happened. So let's look at how it was able to happen, because I'm going to be honest with you. On appeal, I'm not so sure this conviction is going to be upheld. Look, in real life, when we see people charged with involuntary manslaughter, which is what these parents were charged with, it is typically because of something horribly stupid that that person, he or herself, has done. Right. For example, when you go out to a bar, you have a few too many drinks, you get behind the wheel, you're driving home, you're not intending to run anybody over, but you do run somebody over, you will be charged, and properly so, with involuntary manslaughter. You did it. You brought about the stupidity. You brought about the action that caused the death. In this case, what the law, what the prosecutors hung their hats on, was the fact that the Crumbleys should have foreseen that somebody else, i.e. their 15-year-old child, was going to take a gun and kill people. To me, that legally is a bridge too far.
Okay. Let me just tell you one thing, Jonna. When I was a DA, I convicted a guy of manslaughter for allowing his child to take his gun and then use that gun to kill another underage kid. So it's been done before I did it, and I imagine aggressive prosecutors like me have done that kind of thing before. This is the first time, you know, where they actually had, it was a serial murder. But, Jonna, here's the thing. For years, people have been trying to assess whether or not there should be any accountability on the part of the parents. This is not just a case where a kid had a gun. The parents bought the gun. They were aware of the fact that the kid was hearing voices. They were aware of the fact that this kid was suicidal. They were aware of the fact that the kid said that he would see, you know, people flying in the air. He had mental illness, and they did nothing. And that day, they leave him at school. They don't take him out and that, you know, when the school said this kid needs help, the parents say, okay, we'll get to it, and they leave. So the question now is, we're talking about vicarious responsibility, not civil responsibility like the DRAM Act, but vicarious criminal responsibility. And I think you're right. I think that the appellate courts will, analyze this very clearly, and they may come down with a decision. But I think we've reached the point in our society where people are saying enough is enough. There is responsibility. You are the parent of that child. You have to take a responsibility for it. Now, let's talk, though, about the parents and what their position was vis-a-vis the school. When they went in, they just left the kid.
Which is, okay, so let's look at that for a second. The school was well aware that there was a problem that day. They were so concerned that they contacted the parents and didn't, not just to inform them, they contacted the parents and said, get your kid out of here, right? Something's not right. You need to handle this with your child. And then gave the parents the option to say, nah, I'm busy. I got to go to work. Now, at that point, the school, what the school should have done, it said, he don't got to go home, but he can't stay here. Call the authorities, call the family court, call the council, call the police.
Call
and
somebody.
Get that child off campus. Right.
And you know what? The father knew he had a gun. The father bought him the gun. Okay. He should have turned around and said, do you have a gun in the backpack? Did you bring your gun today? Nothing. The kid actually wrote a note to a friend saying, my family won't do anything. I want to see a doctor. You see, these are tough, tough facts. These are extraordinary circumstances. The father, having given him the gun, having bought the gun within a couple of days, Jonna, doesn't he bear the responsibility? What do you think should happen to him?
Okay, well, you know, absent what did happen to him, I think there were some charges here that would have been highly appropriate. For example, if you know that you have a child or anyone in the house who is suffering from some sort of mental illness and you don't make darn sure that you don't give them access to any weapon, gun, knife, corkscrew, whatever.
Well, I want to thank you, Jonna Spilborg, for being with us. And I'm waiting for your first book because you have an incredible career that you're still in the thick of. And we love you and we thank you for joining us on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show.
The feeling is so mutual. Thanks so much, Judge.
Have a great day. And
you
up
too.
Next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will gavel out with my closing argument. It's all coming up here on the Red Apple Audio Network. Up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will gavel out with my closing argument. It's all coming up here on the Red Apple Audio Network. Okay, now it's time for me to gavel out with my closing argument. You know, folks, I never thought I'd see the day when people within the confines of this great nation would get up and swear that we need death to America and death to Israel. It is a sad state of affairs. And I got to tell you, I am a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in free speech. I don't like that hate speech is being criminalized in parts of Europe. You know, if you riot and if it is if you are part of an imminent threat to the United States, then I believe that you should be prosecuted. But there's something about what is going on in Michigan where groups of individuals who think that Hamas and Palestine are in the right to do what they're doing and what they did on October 7th in Israel. And as a result, they think that America supporting the only democracy is reason for them to hate America and to ask for death for America. This is bad stuff, folks. This is dangerous stuff. We're at a very, very dangerous point in America We've got illegals all over this country. Terrorists who've been released. On Friday morning on the news, there was a terrorist who was released, and apparently Homeland Security forgot to say that he was a terrorist, and he was released for the second time back into the country. It is a very dangerous situation, and we are going to reap the consequences of Joe Biden and his decision to open up the borders for political reasons, for selfish reasons, folks. He just wants more illegals so that they can have a bigger census, so that we can have more Democrats in Congress, and so the Democrats can get elected. It is a sad state of affairs. But we will be back here next Sunday talking about what happens next week in light of what happened this week. Make sure you join us right back here next week. Same time, same place. For the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Have a great day, everybody. God bless, and thanks for being with us.